This is the Power of Your Subconscious Mind podcast, a chapter-by-chapter reading of Joseph Murphy's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, which is in the public domain. This book was written in 1963, and although the language is a bit arcane at times, the concepts are still cutting edge. I'm your host, Lane Smith Brown, and I am a coach at lanesmithbrown.com and the host of the Unleash Your Life podcast. I help my students apply the concepts in this book by helping them understand what is really playing in their subconscious mind. That's a mystery to most people, and why so many people read or listen to this book and don't get the results they want. Check out the links in the show notes or go directly to lanesmithbrown.com. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, brought to you by WeirdHummingbirds.com. This book is in the public domain. Please note I have altered the language in this chapter to be more inclusive. The intent of the content has not been lost. Chapter 14, Your Subconscious Mind and Relationship Problems. All relationship trouble is caused by a failure to properly understand the functions and powers of the mind. Friction between partners will disappear when each partner uses the law of mind correctly. By praying together, they stay together. The contemplation of divine ideals, the study of the laws of life, the mutual agreement on a common purpose and plan, and the enjoyment of personal freedom bring about the harmonious relationship, bliss, and that sense of oneness where the two become one. The best time to prevent divorce is before marriage. There is nothing wrong with deciding to get out of a very bad situation. But why get into the bad situation in the first place? Would it not be better to give attention to the real cause of a relationship problem? To really get at the root of the matter in the first place? The problems of relationship unhappiness, discord, separation, and divorce are no different from all other problems. They can be traced directly to a lack of knowledge of the working and interrelationship of the conscious and subconscious mind. The meaning of marriage. To be genuine, a marriage or union must begin on a sound spiritual basis. It must be of the heart, and the heart is the chalice of love. Honesty, sincerity, kindness, and integrity are all aspects of love. Each partner should be perfectly honest and sincere with the other. It is not a true marriage when a person marries another to lift their ego or because they want to share their money or social position. This indicates a lack of sincerity, honesty, and true love. Such a union is a farce, a sham, and a masquerade. If a person says, "I am tired of working, I want to get married because I want security," the major premise is false. They are not using the laws of mind correctly. Their security depends on their knowledge of the interaction of the conscious and subconscious mind and its applications. A person will never lack for wealth or health if they apply the techniques outlined in the chapters of this book. Their wealth can come to each independently of their mate, parents, or anyone else. A person is not dependent on their mate for health, peace, joy, inspiration, guidance, love, wealth, security, happiness, or anything in the world. Their security and peace of mind come from their knowledge of the powers within themselves and from the constant use of the laws of their own mind in a constructive fashion. How to attract the ideal mate. If you have studied the chapter that preceded this one, you are now acquainted with the way your subconscious mind works. You know that whatever you impress upon it will be experienced in your mind. Begin now to impress your subconscious mind with the qualities and characteristics you desire in a partner. The following is an excellent technique. Sit down at night in your armchair, close your eyes, let go, relax the body, become very quiet, passive, and receptive. Talk to your subconscious mind and say to it, I am now attracting a mate into my experience who is honest, sincere, loyal, faithful, peaceful, happy, and prosperous. These qualities that I admire are sinking down into my subconscious mind now. As I dwell upon these characteristics, they become a part of me and are embodied subconsciously. I know there is an irresistible law of attraction and that I attract to me a partner according to my subconscious belief. I attract that which I feel to be true in my subconscious mind. I know I can contribute to their peace and happiness. They love my ideals and I love their ideals. They do not want to make me over, neither do I want to make them over. There is mutual love, freedom, and respect. Practice this process of impregnating your subconscious mind. Then you will have the joy of attracting to you an individual possessing the qualities and characteristics you mentally dwelt upon. Your subconscious intelligence will open up a pathway whereby both of you will meet according to the irresistible and changeless flow of your own subconscious mind. Have a keen desire to give the best that is in you of love, devotion, and cooperation. Be receptive to this gift of love which you have given to your subconscious mind. No need for a third mistake. Recently, Sheila B., a woman with many years of experience as an administrator, said to me, "I have had three husbands and all three have been passive and submissive. They all depended on me to make all the decisions and govern everything. Why do I attract such men?" I asked her if she had known before getting married the second time that her prospective husband had a similar character to her first husband. "Of course not," she said emphatically. "If I had known he was such a milquetoast, I wouldn't have had anything to do with him. And the same goes for my third." Sheila's trouble did not lie with the men she married. It was a result of her own personality makeup. She was a very assertive person with a strong need to stay in control of every situation she found herself in. On one level, she wanted a partner who would be submissive and passive so that she could play the dominant role. At the same time, her deeper need for a partner who would be her equal. Her subconscious picture attracted to her the sort of man that she subjectively wanted. But once she found one, she discovered that he did not meet her real needs. She had learned to break the pattern by adopting the right prayer process. How she broke the negative pattern. Sheila B. finally learned a simple truth. When you believe you can have the type of partner you idealize, it is done unto you as you believe. To break the old subconscious patterns and attract to herself the ideal mate, Sheila used the following prayer. "I am building into my mentality the type of person I deeply desire. The partner I attract for a mate is strong, powerful, loving, successful, honest, loyal, and faithful. They find love and happiness with me. I love to follow where they lead. I know they want me, and I want them. I am honest, sincere, loving, and kind. I have wonderful gifts to offer them. They are goodwill, a joyful heart, and a healthy body. They offer me the same. It is mutual. I give and I receive. Divine intelligence knows where this person is, and the deeper wisdom of my subconscious mind is now bringing both of us together in its own way, and we recognize each other immediately. I release this request to my subconscious mind, which knows how to bring my request to pass. I give thanks for the perfect answer." She prayed in this way every day, first thing in the morning and the last thing before going to sleep. She affirmed these truths in the confident knowledge that through frequent occupation of the mind, she would reach the mental equivalent of what she sought. Just a reminder that to get the change Murphy is talking about, you've got to do the work. There's a free resource in the show notes to get you going. It'll help you understand how you got your subconscious programming and how you can change it or let it go. The answer to her prayer. Several months went by. Sheila had a number of dates and social engagements, but none of the men she met was what she was looking for. She began to wonder if her quest was hopeless. She found herself starting to question, waver, doubt, and vacillate. At that point, she reminded herself that the infinite intelligence was bringing it to pass in its own way. There was nothing to be concerned about. When she received the final decree in her divorce proceedings, it brought her a great sense of release and mental freedom. Soon afterward, she took a new position as a head administrator in a medical group practice. The first day she was on the job, one of the senior physicians came by her office to introduce himself. He had been out of town at a medical conference the day she had interviewed for the position. The minute he walked in, she knew he was the man she was praying for. Apparently, he knew it too. He proposed to her before a month had passed. Their subsequent marriage was ideally happy. This physician was not the passive or submissive type. He was strong, confident, and decisive. Well-respected in his field, a former college athlete, he was also a deeply spiritual man. Sheila got what she prayed for because she claimed it mentally until she reached the point of saturation. In other words, she mentally and emotionally united with her idea, and it became a part of her. Should I get a divorce? Divorce is a very much an individual question. There cannot be a general answer that is valid for everyone. In some cases, of course, there should never have been a marriage in the first place. In other cases, divorce is not a solution. Divorce may be right for one person and wrong for another. A person who is divorced may be far more sincere and noble than many married people who are perhaps living a lie. For example, I was once consulted by a woman whose husband beat her and stole from her to support a drug habit. She had been brought up to believe that marriage is sacred and forever, and that consequently divorce is immoral. I explained to her the true marriage is of the heart. If two hearts blend harmoniously, lovingly, and sincerely, that is the ideal marriage. The pure action of the heart is love. Following this explanation, she knew what to do. She knew in her heart that there is no divine law that compelled her to be browbeaten, intimidated, and beaten simply because someone once said, "I pronounce you man and wife." If you are in doubt as to what to do, ask for guidance. Know that there is always an answer and that you will receive it. Follow the lead that comes to you in the silence of your soul. It speaks to you in peace. Drifting into divorce. I once spoke with a young couple who had been married for only a few months, but were already seeking a divorce. I discovered that the young man had a constant fear that his wife would leave him. He expected rejection and believed that she would be unfaithful to him. These thoughts haunted his mind and became an obsession with him. His mental attitude was one of separation and suspicion. She felt unresponsive to him, but this was a result of his own feeling. The atmosphere of separation operating through his subconscious mind brought about a condition or action in accordance with the mental pattern behind it. There is a law of action and reaction, or cause and effect. The thought is the action, and the response of the subconscious mind is the reaction. His wife left home and asked for a divorce, exactly what he had feared and believed she would do. Divorce begins in the mind. Divorce takes place first in the mind. The legal proceedings follow after. These two young people were full of resentment, fear, suspicion, and anger. These attitudes weaken, exhaust, and debilitate the whole being. They learned that hate divides and that love unites. They began to realize what they had been doing with their minds. Neither of them knew the law of mental action. They were misusing their minds and bringing chaos and misery on themselves. At my suggestion, this couple got back together and experimented with prayer therapy. They began to radiate love, peace, and goodwill to each other. Each one practiced radiating harmony, health, peace, and love to the other, and they alternated in the reading of the Psalms every night. As a result of this sincere effort on their part and the impregnation of their subconscious minds with beneficial impulses, their marriage is growing more beautiful each day. The nagging partner. Many times the reason a person nags is because they get no attention. Their legitimate craving for love and affection expresses itself in a way that pushes their partner farther away. Give your mate some attention and show your appreciation. Praise and exalt all their good points. Another type of nagging reflects a desire to make the partner conform to a particular pattern. There are few quicker ways to drive a partner away. Partners must be on guard not to be scavengers, always looking for petty faults or errors in each other. Let each give attention and praise for the constructive and wonderful qualities in the other. The brooding mate. If a mate begins to brood or grows morbid against his partner because of things they said or did, they are, psychologically speaking, committing adultery. One of the meanings of adultery is idolatry, which means giving attention to or uniting mentally with that which is negative and destructive. When an individual is silently resenting his mate and is full of hostility toward them, they are unfaithful. They are not faithful to their marriage vows, which are to love, cherish, and honor the other all the days of their life. The person who is brooding, bitter, and resentful can swallow their sharp remarks, abate their anger, and go to great lengths to be considerate, kind, and courteous. They can deftly skirt the differences. Through praise and mental effort, they can get out of the habit of antagonism. As they soak their subconscious mind with thoughts of peace, harmony, and love, they will find that they get along better, not only with their partner, but with everyone in their life. Assume the harmonious state and eventually you will find peace and harmony. The great mistake. It is a great mistake to discuss your relationship problem or difficulties with neighbors and relatives. Suppose, for example, one mate tells a neighbor, "John treats my mother abominably, drinks to excess, and is constantly abusive and insulting." This person is degrading and belittling her mate in the eyes of everyone she speaks to. Moreover, as she discusses and dwells upon the shortcomings of her partner, she is actually creating these states within herself. Who is thinking and feeling it? She is. And as you think and feel, so are you. Relatives will usually give you the wrong advice. It is usually biased and prejudiced because it is not given in an impersonal way. Any advice you receive which violates the golden rule, which is a cosmic law, is not good or sound. It is well to remember that no two human beings ever lived beneath the same roof without dashes of temperament, periods of hurt and strain. Never display the unhappy side of your marriage to your friends. Keep your coils to yourself. Refrain from criticism and condemnation of your partner. Don't try to remake your partner. Mates must not try to make their partners over into a second edition of themselves. The tactless attempt to change them is an affront, a statement that they are not worthy in themselves. These attempts are always foolish and many times lead to the destruction of the partnership. Attempting to alter someone destroys pride and self-esteem and arouses a spirit of contrariness and resentment that can prove fatal to the partnership bond. Adjustments are needed, of course. None of us is perfect, and that holds for life as partners as well. But if you have a good look inside your own mind and study your own character and behavior, you will find enough shortcomings to keep you busy the rest of your life. If you think, "I will make him or her over into what I want," you are looking for trouble and the divorce court. You are asking for misery. You will have to learn the hard way that there is no one to change but yourself. Pray together and stay together through steps in prayer. The first step, never carry over from one day to another accumulated irritations arising from little disappointments. Be sure to forgive each other for any sharpness before you retire at night. The moment you awaken in the morning, claim infinite intelligence is guiding you in all your ways. Send out loving thoughts of peace, harmony, and love to your partner, to all members of the family, and to the whole world. The second step, say grace at breakfast. Give thanks for the wonderful food, for your abundance, and for all your blessings. Make sure that no problems, worries, or arguments shall enter into the table conversation. The same applies at dinner time. Say to your mate, "I appreciate all you are doing, and I radiate love and goodwill to you all day long." The third step, do not take your mate for granted. Show your appreciation and love. Think appreciation and goodwill rather than condemnation, criticism, and nagging. The way to build a peaceful home and a happy marriage is to use a foundation of love, beauty, harmony, mutual respect, faith, and all good things. As you practice these truths, your union will grow more and more blessed through the years. Review your actions. Ignorance of mental and spiritual laws is the cause of all relationship unhappiness. By praying scientifically together, you stay together. The best time to prevent divorce is before marriage. If you learn how to pray in the right way, you will attract the right mate for yourself. Marriage is the union of people who are bound together by love. Their hearts beat as one, and they move onward, upward, and Godward. Marriage does not guarantee happiness. People find happiness by dwelling on the eternal truths of God and the spiritual values of life. Then the individuals can contribute to each other's happiness and joy. You attract the right mate by dwelling on the qualities and characteristics you admire in a person. Then your subconscious mind will bring you together in divine order. You must build into your mentality the mental equivalent of what you want in a partner. If you want to attract an honest, sincere, and loving partner in life, you must be honest, sincere, and loving yourself. You do not have to repeat mistakes in marriage. When you really believe you can have the type of man or woman you idealize, it is done unto you as you believe. To believe is to accept something as true. Accept your ideal companion now, mentally. Do not wonder how, why, or where you will meet the mate you are praying for. Trust implicitly the wisdom of your subconscious mind. It has the power to carry out its mission. You don't have to assist it. You are mentally divorced when you indulge in peeves, grudges, ill will, and hostility toward your partner. You are mentally dwelling with error in your mind. Adhere to your vows. Promise to cherish, love, and honor him or her all the days of your life. Cease projecting fear patterns to your marriage partner. Project love, peace, harmony, and goodwill, and your marriage will grow more beautiful and more wonderful through the years. Radiate love, peace, and goodwill to each other. These vibrations are picked up by the subconscious mind, resulting in mutual trust, affection, and respect. A nagging partner is usually seeking attention and appreciation. He or she is craving love and affection. Praise and exalt their many good points. Show them that you love and appreciate them. Partners who love each other do not do anything unloving or unkind in word, manner, or action. Love is what love does. In relationship problems, always seek expert advice. You would not go to a carpenter to pull a tooth. Neither should you discuss your marriage problems with friends or relatives. If you need counsel, go to a trained person. Never try to make over your partner. These attempts are always foolish and tend to destroy the pride and self-esteem of the other. Moreover, they arouse a spirit of resentment that can prove fatal to the love bond. Cease trying to make the other a second edition of yourself. Pray together and you will stay together. Scientific prayer solves all problems. Mentally picture your mate as they ought to be. Joyous, happy, healthy, and beautiful. See them as they ought to be, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and kind. Maintain this mental picture, and you will experience the partnership made in heaven, which is harmony and peace. That's the end of this chapter. There's so much good stuff here, but if you don't address the self-sabotaging beliefs and behaviors in your subconscious mind, nothing will change for you. Don't be a listener, be a doer. Get the change you're seeking. The show notes contain links to lanesmithbrown.com, and for more helpful information on how to really apply the concepts in this book, check out my Unleash Your Life podcast. This is Lane Smith Brown, signing off.